Will you pray with me, please? Gracious God, may the faltering words that follow be instruments of your living Spirit's powerful word to us. And may we listen to our depths, to the depth of your word now for our living. In the name of Jesus, amen. Everybody has a history, and everybody's history is different. Your history is the people you've known and the places you've known. It's your social location and your generation. It's who your parents were and your friends, your community, your religion, your resources. Your history is the choices you've made and the choices others have made and the choices society has made that include you and how your personality responded, reacted, all that has happened to you, all that hasn't happened for you, all that has shaped you, your history. Imagine it as a landscape that you've been walking through all your life. It lies behind you. All the systems and circumstances that were the context and all those encounters, events, relationships, accidents, choices. And see what a crazy mix it has been of good and not so good. For most of us, it can be said, there were wonderful people, love and encouragement, maybe resources enough, opportunities, achievements, good times. But what else? Some trauma, betrayals of love, prejudice, mistakes, failures, bad choices, broken relationships, too many deaths. Some of it like a knife has wounded us. Some of it like poison has sickened us. Some of it was like an endless undercurrent of accusation that we cannot seem to stop hearing. Some of it was like laying on of a heavy burden, somebody saying, here, carry this for the rest of your life. Now, if that description makes it sound like the bad stuff weighs more than the good stuff, it doesn't. In the case of most of us, not all, but most, sweet, strong gifts from the past are still flowing to us like nourishing waters. Our sense of personhood, our abilities, our values, our capacities to love and to accept love, however imperfect it may be, all of that still feeds us for good. The reason I stress the more hurtful parts of our history is that these are what so easily hinder us. They may have left us with shame, guilt, anxieties, resentments, mistrust, a broken sense of who we are, to the point that we don't seem able to flourish. We don't seem able to grow. If you were here last Sunday, you know that the sermons in these early weeks of this new year are about making a fresh start. Returning to the basics of faith and life that will move us forward spiritually, relationally, personally, socially. Our word is reboot. Language in computer usage, now also cultural language for making a fresh start. But how on earth do we make a fresh start, and what possible forward movement can there be if we're all tangled up still by stuff in our past that has no business holding us back, but somehow still does? The poet Robert Bly said that all of us have a little anxiety bag on our belts when we're very young. And every time something comes along that threatens us, we slip it into our little anxiety bag. He said that for most of us, by the time we're 50, that bag is 100 yards long, dragging along behind us, getting stuck in elevator doors. Well, what do we do about that? All of that anxiety, guilt, shame, disappointment, rage, mistrust, self-doubt, unresolved grief. What do we do? Well, you know the standard advice. Let it go. Let it go. I feel a song coming on. And I am so tempted. I think that in the end, that might be fairly good advice, but the truth is, how is it supposed to happen? All the damage from the past, it's not like I'm holding it and can drop it. How do you let go of a wound? How do you let go of a huge burden lashed to your back with 100 ropes? How do you let go of somebody's death or of consequences from the past that just keep unfolding and unfolding? A starting point: don't pretend it isn't there. Acknowledge that it's real and place it in the light and tell the truth of it to yourself, to a friend, to a professional, to God. I am wounded. Here is the wrong that others did. Here is the wrong that I did. Here's what I should have done and didn't. Here is my embarrassment, my wound, my broken heart. My regret, my anxiety, my anger, my terror, my resentment, all of it placed in the light. That's a first step. Only a first step, but not a bad one. In the Bible, it's done over and over again, especially in the book of Psalms. It's only a beginning, but how can we get free if we have not faced what we need to be free from? Naming it for what it is, and wanting and seeking help. In the seeking of it, we should know that our healing will not be instant. Healing is like growing. You don't see it happen while it's happening. A wound is mended in the passage of time. Do you know the book, A Pilgrim's Progress? John Bunyan's great 17th century allegory. The main character, whose name is Christian, it's not a subtle allegory, has a very heavy burden strapped to his back. He wants it gone and he can't get out of it. He asks others to help him and they can't get it off. He goes to someone, a wonderful person who is a teacher and teaches him of faith and of grace, and he believes and accepts. Only the burden doesn't come off. So he must continue on. He keeps on his journey, and after a time, the straps of that burden break off of their own accord. And the burden rolls into an open tomb. And there is a cross standing nearby. In the fullness of its time, the burden fell away. Just as in the fullness of its time, God's love in Christ was given to the world, was given to us. If burdens fall away, it will be in their time, in God's time. Till then, staying on the journey is the thing. C.S. Lewis was deeply, deeply hurt by someone. And he knew that for his own sake, he needed to get past his brokenness and his resentment. And so he decided that he would begin praying that he could forgive that man completely and utterly. He prayed this every night and at length reported that one night he rose from his prayers after 17 years. Free, realizing that he had finally, fully, deeply, perfectly released the hurt. There are wounds we must seek the healing of, knowing that the deepest possible healing will take some long living toward it. Here's the thing that faith needs to know. That whatever wound we are carrying and seeking to be released of, the love of God, though we cannot see it, is already at work to make things new. You heard the reading from the prophet through whom God spoke, "Look, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Don't remember the former things." For I am doing a new thing, and I am doing it now. Do you see what a gift is in that word? Do you see how I've mixed up my pages? God gives us a better gift than the instruction, forget about the past. God says you can forget the past because you can notice I am doing a new thing now. The great new calling that divine love is inviting you to is now. There are new doors opening now. New opportunities, new community, new resolve. And so new reasons to release the pain of our past, release. Now, does that take us back to let it go? Let it go. The coal never bothered me anyway. In a way, yes, but I think the much better word is release. For For one thing, in the Bible, in both Old Testament and New, the word rendered into English as forgive in the original languages means release. To forgive is not to say it's okay. To forgive is to release, which means in part to know this is not mine to keep carrying, not as I have been. It means also to have some compassion for the mistakes and sins of those who did harm, and some compassion for the mistakes and sins we committed that did harm. Most of all, it means to release not into nothing, but to release into the hands of God. The hands in which our sins are turned into nothing, nothing of importance anymore. The hands of God who holds all the broken systems of the world and all the broken people, past and present. The hands of God who can turn our wounds, our mistakes, into powerful instruments of grace for others, powerful instruments of grace for ourselves. The hands of God that one day will wipe away every tear from every face, and more will be mended than we can know. The truth is, we are going to go on bearing some of what our God-forgiven regrets have done. We forgive, and we learn to accept them, but no more living under the tyranny of them. And because God's grace is on them, we even learn to have love for them, especially as they have opened us to a better way. And we live in the confidence that the love of God is not finished with us, not at all. With confidence, we know our past and all that happened and all that didn't does not define us. Not as once it did. The grace of God over all of it, over us, is what defines us now. And the choices we are free to make today, the choices we are free to make tomorrow, those are the choices that matter. And more will be mended than we know.